Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Just to thank him one more time, amen, and I appreciate the good singing tonight, amen. John chapter number 4, and I'll give you a little thought out of here. John chapter number 4, and I'm trying my best to go back and preach some more on grief, and matter of fact, I studied all afternoon on it, and the Lord just won't give me a green light on it. I don't know why, but he won't, but I want to be obedient to him, amen. John chapter number 4 really ties in with what she just sung, and I read you a couple verses here, and I watch the time tonight. I know we've had a little bit extra tonight, but that's all right, amen. John chapter number 4, a lot of times we go to church to get out instead of getting in, amen, and John chapter number 4, let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. Very, very, very familiar passage of Scripture tonight. And if you've been in church any time at all, you've heard preaching on John chapter number 4. But I want to give you a simple thought tonight. Some of the things I've said in days gone by. Matter of fact, in 2016, I preached some of this in 2016, not all of it. But let me give you a thought here. The Bible said this. Really, we need to start in verse number 1, but let's just pick up in verse number 19. Of course, Jesus is having a conversation with a Samaritan woman here at the well. He said this in verse number 19. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain, nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. For ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. He kindly rebukes her and he says, you don't even know what you worship, but I do know what I worship, amen. There's a lot of people today that they don't have a clue what they're worshiping, but I sure am glad that I can say tonight, I know what I worship tonight, and I know who I worship, and I know why I worship, amen. Goes on to say in verse number 23, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us of all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Father, I love you tonight. I pray over the next few minutes, God, that you'd help us tonight. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to recall the things that we've studied, God. And God, I pray, Lord, that you'd just use us to preach in power and unction and demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. Thank you for being who you are tonight. And I pray, God, that we'd lift you up. You said about Jesus, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So God, I pray that you'd help us to lift you up in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. Again, I know this is very familiar scripture tonight, and we're all aware of it. If you've been in church any time at all, you've heard preaching on John chapter number 4, Jesus going through Samaria and touching this woman and saving her and transforming her life. If you've heard much preaching on worship, you have heard this passage of scripture made reference to. And I want to say something to you tonight. I'm afraid that we have allowed the contemporary movement and the quote-unquote praise and worship movement to scare us away from worshiping him for who he is. And I'll just say this to you tonight. There was worship way before there was ever a contemporary movement. There was worship way before there was ever a Methodist. There was worship way before there was ever a Southern Baptist. Baptist or an independent Baptist. Matter of fact, if we go all the way back to the book of Genesis, when Abraham took Isaac up on the mountain, that's the first time we see worship mentioned in the Word of God. Worship has been around for a long, long time. I think that it's high time that we quit worrying about what everybody else says and what everybody else may quote unquote label us, and we get back to what the Bible said. And the Bible said to us that Jesus is seeking somebody to worship Him. In other words, He's looking for somebody that'll say thank you for being good to me. He's looking for somebody that'll give Him the praise and the adoration that He deserves tonight. You know what? We can go to the football field, somebody holler amen, and we can holler about little Johnny running a touchdown. And if you want to holler for little Johnny, holler on, honey. We can go to the basketball court, or we can go to the volleyball court, or we can go to this affair or that affair that our kids are involved in. But hear me and hear me well. Why don't we start hollering for Him and giving Him the praise that He deserves and worshiping Him for who He is? Matter of fact, if we take a minute tonight and remember where we used to be and the condition that we used to be in, as the preacher was talking to us tonight about his past and where God brought him from, aren't you thankful tonight that God came to where we was at in a sin-sick state? We didn't deserve God. We didn't deserve the mercies of God. We didn't deserve the grace of God. But is there anybody else that's thankful, as he done by this Samaritan woman, that he came to where you was at, saw you in the condition that you was in, didn't care about the condition that you was in, didn't write you off because of the times that you had rejected him, but he loved you in spite of your faults, in spite of your failures, in spite of your mess-ups, past tense, present tense, and future tense. He still loved you and cared about you and saved your soul from hell. I think it's high time we start worshiping Him. He said He's seeking those to worship Him. He's looking for those to worship Him. I was thinking about this. Tonight, me and Miss Leslie and Miss Sarah had met and was going over some things for the new year. And I was talking about that verse where the Bible said that He would give you the desires of your heart. Man, as I look back over the past 12 months or the past 10 or 11 months this year at our church and what we've saw God do this year at our church and the difference that God has made and the people that we have saw saved and the spiritual maturity in our young people that we've saw this year, I told Miss Sarah, I said, I've saw this year God make that verse true to me. He's given me the desires of my heart and our church and what we're doing for world missions and what God has helped do in our music ministry here at the church and our young people. Hear me and hear me well. We could be setting as many churches is tonight with just a handful of people trying to keep the doors open. But man, there's more people in our youth choir tonight than in most churches in Surrey County. I say God's been real good and He's seeking us to worship Him. Oh, yes. I like what he said. I'll give you a little outline in just a second, but I like what he said. He said, you don't even know what you worship, woman. There's a lot of people today, they don't have a clue what they worship, man. They don't have a clue, but I'm going to tell you something. I know what I worship tonight. I know who I worship tonight, and I know why I worship him tonight. Oh, yes. I want to show you just two or three things. Number one, why do we worship tonight? Because of who He is. Because of who He is. He's God, man. Are you hearing me tonight? He's the creator of all the world. You've got to put His Son in with Him because it's a triune Godhead. Amen. But when we think about all the holiness of God, amen, all the holiness of God, we think about all the lowliness of us, all the wickedness of us, yet He still loved us. enough that he would send his son to die for our sins. Hey, I worship because of who he is tonight. Here's who he is. He that knew no sin. Jesus Christ was born by the way of a virgin. Amen, right there. Let me say it again. Jesus was born by the way of a virgin. She never knew a man. Somebody say amen. He was born by the way of a virgin. Amen. Jesus was born by the way of a virgin. He stepped out on the scene at 30 years old and began an earthly ministry for 3.5 years. And you know what he did? He never sinned. He never messed up. He never missed the mark. Only thing he ever done was love the people and tried his best to fix their condition. But thank God there was a day that he walked up Calvary's hill and he lay his life down willingly. And he that knew no sin became sin. He never sinned the first time, but all the sin of the world was placed upon him that day. Who he is, he was our substitute that day. It should have been you. It should have been me on Calvary that day. Oh, but thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. It was Jesus that day, our substitute. That's who he is today. He was our sacrifice. He was our substitute. He was the one that was the spotless Lamb of God that knew no sin, became sin. Why? So we could be made the righteousness of God through him. Hey, it's because of him today. It's because of him today. I now have access unto the throne room of God. It's because of Jesus today. Now I can talk to God. It's because of Jesus today. Hear me and hear me well. I'm not going to hell. I said it's because of Jesus today that I've escaped the flames of hell. Thank God I don't have to worry about dying and going to a place called hell. Why? Because who he is today. Because who he is. I say we worship him because who he is today. I thought about this, man. I've got a whole list wrote down to go from Genesis to Revelation and from A to Z in my notes. But I thought about this today. Who he is, he's my Savior, but he's my best friend. Can I just say that? He's my best friend. You say, well, I thought I was. Well, you thought wrong. He's my best friend. You know what? He knows everything there is to know about me. Every shortcoming, every fault, everything I have done, and everything I will do. I said, and everything I will do. And you know what? He still loves me. Now, why do you worship him, preacher? Because who he is tonight. Who he is tonight. Oh, we could go on and on. He's the breath of life. He's the Passover lamb. He's our high priest. He's the fire by night. He's Moses' voice to Joshua. He is the salvation's choice and judges. He's the lawgiver in Ruth. He's the kinsman redeemer. And 1st, 2nd Samuel, he's our trusted prophet. Amen. Boy, we could go on and on about who he is. I'm going to ask you this question tonight. Let me ask you this question tonight. Who is he to you? Yeah, man. Who is he to you? What about this in Revelations? He's the Prince of Peace, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the Great I Am. He's the Alpha, the Omega, our God and our Savior. He is Jesus Christ the Lord. And when time is no more, he'll still be. That's him. I say I worship him tonight because who he is. But number two tonight, I say I worship him tonight because what he's done. Because what he's done. Boy, that's deep, isn't it? Because of what he's done. This past Thursday, Miss Stephanie and I met and began. We're a little bit behind, but we're still right on time at the same time. We met and began going through all of the budget for this year, and I'm looking at next year, and do we need to do this, or do we need to do that, or how's everything going?
And as we sat there and looked at it, she had it all printed off, which I can see it all online too, but she had it all printed off, and we talked for probably 2 hours. We got done talking, and I said, you know what? I said, my daddy told me this one time. I said, my daddy said, church budgeting does not make sense. And you know what, Miss Stephanie? And she said, don't make sense, does it? I said, how in the world? How in the world? A little old mountain church in the middle of nowhere. Just this year, over $140,000 we put towards the principal of this building. Just this year, over $500,000 has went through the account at Amazing Grace Baptist Church. You say, where did it all go? Well, the biggest part of it, if you want to look at all across the world, there's missionaries, and we're helping to get them out on the field. And because we're doing that and fulfilling the Great Commission, you know what God's doing? He's dumping His blessings out on the church, man. I look at what He's done tonight, not only financially, but boy, I look just this year, 19 souls saved. Man, we baptized 9 last Sunday night. Most churches hadn't baptized that many in the past 5 years. I say thank you, Lord, for choosing to stop by at Amazing Grace Baptist Church and doing what you're doing because of what He's done. What He's done. Man, I stand amazed. Who'd have ever dreamed? Boy, I thought this. Here's what I thought, Brother Matt. I talked to him yesterday and said, hey, look, I'm just going to get the barn for Wednesday night if I can. I said, we've got 150, 160 already signed up. I said, we're going to be packed in the fellowship hall. I just don't like to be packed. I like to have a little bit of room, and I don't like to eat touching somebody else. I don't like to do nothing touching somebody else, but especially eat. I said, I think we will. And he said, yeah, he said, I think that's a good idea. But I remember when we started building this and we was looking at making the old sanctuary our fellowship hall, I thought, man, we'll have all kinds of room over there. I remember when we built this building, something come up to me and said, preacher, you've built way too big. Look around. Can I just say this? I worship Him because what He's done. Matter of fact, the other day I was showing the building to a gentleman, and he looked at me, and he said, where does everybody come from? And I looked at him, and I said, be quite honest with you, I really don't know. I said, we've got them from way up in Virginia, all the way down to Pilot Mountain, out in Stokes County, all the way over to Ararat. Ain't that right, Joanna? You proud to be from Ararat, aren't you? She's still praying on that, and she give it one of these back there. Tell you what it is, it's just what He's done. And whenever we come to the place that we take credit for everything that's going on around here, I'm telling you what God's going to do. He'll shut it down. You hear me, Chad, the reason that youth choir sung the way that they did tonight? No, it wasn't Brother Elijah. That's who God's using right now. God's got His hand on work with our young people right now. But hear me and hear me well. It was God. That's the reason they stood and sung the way that they did. You know, let me tell you the reason the choir's been singing the way they've been singing. It's not because Brother Matt, sure, he puts a lot of time into preparing for it and working with the musicians, but it's because of God. You know, let me tell you the reason that ladies' ensemble sung the way they did a while ago. It's because of God. You know, let me tell you the reason that Addie and Tanya had a touch on them this morning. It was because of God. You know, let me tell you the reason that Courtney and Joanna and Madeline and Olivia had God on them this morning. It's because of Him. But hear me and hear me well. God don't put His blessings on a bunch of trash and a bunch of ungodliness. So it should cause us to strive to live a godly life. So God will continue. The poor, why do you worship Him? Because who He is. Because what He's done. Because what He's done. Oh, we could talk about salvation. We could talk about so much. You say, why do you worship him? I know who I worship. Why? Why do you worship him? Preacher, why do you worship him? Because who he is, because what he's done. But I give you this in closing, Miss Tanya, will you come? Because what he's going to do. That's deep, isn't it? Because what he's going to do. I really believe, if I've ever believed what I'm fixing to say, in 18 years, I believe it right now. I believe next year could by far be the greatest year we've ever saw at Amazing Grace. Let me tell you what's happened this year. He's just started stirring and getting people right. Got some saved that thought they saved, holding on to some profession. He said he bowed down beside that bed, say, Lord, save me. Bowing down beside something saying, Lord, save me don't mean you get saved. No man cometh unto me unless the Spirit I have sent me draw him. Are you with me? There's got to be a draw. There's got to be a repentance. Yeah, man. There's got to be a turning from our wicked ways. Let me tell you what's happened this year. I believe this in all my heart. The prayers from the past 3 or 4 years, it started getting answered this year. God realized, hey, there's some down there that really is hungry. There's some down there that really is looking for something. There's some down there that really is interested in paying the price to have revival. I mean what I'm fixing to say. I believe next year could by far be the greatest year we've ever saw. I worship him because what he's going to do. Because what he's going to do. There's a couple I've been praying for. And I'm not so sure they're not dodging me now. Because it went by and I'm almost positive they was around, but they wouldn't. Y'all know what I'm saying? Kind of like when the preacher knocks on the door at your house and the kids scream, oh, it's the preacher. And all of a sudden everything goes quiet. And you leave a note and they text you 2 hours later, a preacher, it looks like you have been by. They never say we wasn't here because they don't want to lie to the preacher. Oh, well, it looks like you've been by. You know what I believe God might just do? He might do it for next year. I believe he might save them few old-timers I've been trying to get in church. Yeah, man, I really believe that. There's one, and man, I'm telling you, I mentioned it Wednesday night. I've been praying. My wife's been praying. And I just really believe that we might see that individual get saved. I really do. Boy, you don't talk about transforming some things. You don't talk about God doing some things. This afternoon, my phone rung, and I looked down, and I thought, what in the world? And I answered it, and they said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm just sitting here. What are you doing? They said, I've been sitting here reading my Bible. And I got a question for you. Am I bothering you? I said, oh, no. You're not bothering me. Let me tell you what it was, Brother Stan. I believe it's the Holy Ghost stirring around. Oh, yes, stirring around in the hearts of those people. What he's going to do, man. What he's going to do. What he's going to do. Next year could be the greatest year if we allow it to be. Let me just back. Next year will be the greatest year. If we'll put everything into it that we're supposed to, I promise you it will be. That's the word of God. That's the word of God. Hey, Sunday school teacher, can I ask you something tonight? I know it's not January 1st. January 1st, we're going to have a special service. And Brother Elijah's going to talk at it. Brother Josh is going to talk at it. Brother Aaron's going to talk at it. I'm going to preach at it. Them other boys might decide they're going to preach a little bit and kick and stomp a little bit that night. But they're going to talk about what their vision is for the group that they work with here at the church next year. Brother Matt's going to talk about the music, what he'd love to see God do with that next year, and our young at heart, what his desires is for that. Are you with me? But before we ever get there, can I ask you something, Sunday school teacher? What's your heart's desire for your class next year? Preacher, I sure would love to see it full. How much you praying for that? How many kids did you invite to Sunday school this week? How many parents did you find this morning that didn't have their kids in Sunday school this week and say, boy, I sure would love for you to bring your kids to Sunday school next Sunday? Hey, adult teachers, how many people did you find that was here for preaching this morning that wasn't here for Sunday school, and did you invite them to come to Sunday school next Sunday? You see, we got to put a little work with our prayer. Somebody say amen right there. We got to put a little work with our faith. Faith without works is dead. It could by far be the greatest year we've ever seen. You said, preacher, where are we going to put everybody? We'll put them somewhere. But, preacher, what if we fill the place up and we've got to build again? Did God provide for this? You said, preacher, we got plenty of land. What are you trusting God for? I worship him because of who he is. I worship him because of what he's done. But I also worship him because of what he's going to do. I just go ahead and thank him. I just go ahead and thank him for what. Amen. Some of y'all looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. Worship him for what he's going to do. Father.